You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I'm your host, Armand. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. Joined, as usual, by my homeboy, Doc. What's going on, my brother?
My brother. I need a little more Southern in that voice. Now, what's going on, everybody? You can follow me on Twitter at Doc_Beats. That's not a Z. Make sure to follow the official Twitter handle of the show at CRS Podcast. And in general, just go to clockgradyspeakers.com and we got links to everything.
Everything. And then Sunday nights, 10 p.m., 12 a.m., Clock Radio Speakers Mix Show, where we pretty much play what we talk about on the show, thepulse-radio.com, or download the TuneIn Radio app, which you should already have if you have a smartphone. Great app. And search Pulse 2K13, and you can listen to a whole bunch of random music there.
it was a stellar plug for...
Look, I'm just going to have them play... because I'm not going to do a Grammy episode. Like, that's kind of corny.
Would it be even cornier to do the what should have been the Grammys? The People's Grammys?
Yeah.
I'm just killing my vibe, man.
I'm sorry. Only because the Dipset episode that I did last week was incredible. And the Grammy, between the Grammys and, you know, everything that was going on Sunday night. There was a lot happened on Sunday night, and I didn't even get a chance to promote the show because by the time I sat down, it was like 11:45, and it was almost time for the show to end. So I'm just going to have them replay the Diplomats episode this week. It was just that good. I mean, the first hour and 15 minutes are like nothing but Dipset classics, and then the second hour is like underrated Dipset records. It's really good.
What's really good? That's the, you know, I really liked doing 2 weeks of Dipset, but the problem is, like, now my diction is, there's just a lot of Jewels in there, specifically Jewels, like sort of the pauses. Exactly. I had, you know, it was starting to affect my life. No, I'm just kidding.
It's funny because I wrote a song while we were doing the Dipset podcast. And one thing that they actually taught me about songwriting was the pauses. Because I know
come on.
I just keep throwing you alley-oops. This is crazy. No, because, you know, sometimes rappers tend to say a lot, especially more conscious, social, whatever rappers. And you kind of have to give the audience enough time to catch what you say and not on some, like, get it, in it, and not like that. But, like, you know, really to digest what you just said. And It worked out. It wasn't like the Jewels pause where it was like he lets like 2.5 bars go before he says anything.
He's just taking a couple bars off. No, I think sometimes, you know, with any it's, you know, writing or, you know, whether you're rapping or singing or you're doing poetry, you make music or whatever, the tendency is to fill whatever gaps, whatever voids are there until that piece of art can't contain anything else. And, you know, it turns out that most of the time less really can be more, right? Like you need to edit yourself severely as an artist, right? That goes for making beats. Like you don't want to throw, it's like, oh, you know what I could have here? I could have another drum roll on top of the other drum roll. It's like, no, just relax. Like nobody wants to hear that.
Yep.
So what are we talking about this week, man? What, anything big happened in the world of music? Anything important?
Isaiah Rashad dropped his EP, a demo tape. I'm sorry. I think it's called Sylvia or something like that. But
it's on iTunes.
It's on iTunes.
That means it's not a demo.
I mean, you know. Come on, you know.
This is the little teaser. This is the OD, right? This is
OD. This is definitely LD. But, you know, I'm sure we'll be talking about it on the show in the next week or two. So, are you TDE fans? I was actually interested in Isaiah because we talked about on the BET Hip Hop Awards episode, he had the best verse out the crew after Kendrick. Hmm. Oh, that's another thing. We didn't even talk about that. We talked about End of the Year and we talked about Control and how Control wasn't the best Kendrick verse. And we said the third verse, the Don't Kill My Vibe, the BET Cypher verse was better than... Control.
Sure. I'll give it that. Yeah.
What about that?
But Control was as much about what he was saying than how he was saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And who he was saying it about. Or who he wasn't saying it about.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people got all excited.
All the disgruntled New York rappers.
A lot of disgruntlery. So yeah, Isaiah Rashad, speaking of TDE, looks like Schoolboy Q is going on tour.
Yeah, he's going everywhere.
He's coming to Columbus.
Yay. Now don't talk to me about tours in Columbus, man. I'm upset.
He's bringing Isaiah Rashad.
And now don't talk to me about tours in Columbus.
Why are you upset? Why are you mad?
In one week, I missed Nipsey Hussle, Action Bronson, Pusha T. Missed all three. Not happy. Not happy at all. I totally would have went to go see. And then I have a friend who went to go see Bronson, and Bronson's show looked crazy, and he said it was crazy. So not happy. Not happy at all. Pusha looked like a rappity rap show. Like all the audience was just full of rappers. So I'm not too upset that I missed that.
But. Yeah. See, nobody comes to Hartford, right? So I got to travel no matter what. But looks like Schoolboy's coming to New Haven. That's not too far of a drive. Be interesting.
Okay.
I don't know. Might see how much those tickets are. I feel like he put on a good show.
Yeah. I mean, he can't be over $20.
Better not be.
Yeah. He can't be over $20 because these are obviously. Do you have the tour dates up?
I can pull them up real quick.
Because I'm sure this is going to be a club tour. So I'd like to know where he's.
It's a club tour.
Yeah, I'm seeing where is he performing in Columbus. It's got to be Scully's. Maybe I don't even know if he could fill out the Newport, but I'm sure he could easily pack Scully's.
No, he's in Newport.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if I've ever seen a show, like a tour schedule this packed. Like from March 1st to the 10th, he doesn't take a night off. And he goes Providence, Boston, Philly, New York, New Jersey, back up to Connecticut, down to D.C., Columbus, Cleveland, Cincinnati.
Youngstown. He sounds like a Cameron record. We really listen to a lot of this. Yeah. That's interesting. I think, now granted, I'm just going to assume, it would be a safe bet to say that he probably has a 360 deal, right?
That's a good question. He's not on Aftermath, but he is Interscope.
He's straight in. And everybody, the only person who's on Aftermath is Kendrick. Everybody else is signed to Interscope.
That's right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if Iveen threw them a 360 deal. But, you know, maybe they know that Schoolboy isn't going to sell. So they're going to appeal to the college kids, the kind of get that fan artist interaction thing that seems to be working for a lot of artists where, you know, they may sell or even best case scenario is a Childish Gambino, which we really need to have an episode on and we will.
Yeah.
Where the artist fan relationship gets to a point to where it surprises us when they sell that much, but then there are people who live and die by that artist. So maybe they're going for that.
I mean, it honestly might just be, you know, old fashioned. You go tour and support your album. Like album comes out February 25th, but you know, it'll leak a week early. So by the time the first show, people will have heard this music for 2 weeks, right? 1 to 2 weeks worth of music for the people who are going to the show, right? You assume maybe I shouldn't, you know, most of the people who are going to pay $20 to go see somebody will at least have like downloaded like some tracks or whatever, right? There's a level of familiarity, but I mean, you know, there's not going to be like a hit single probably. So he's just going to, you know, to use the most overused cliche, he's going to grind. He's going to go town to town, just slow and slow. And it's going to be a slow burn kind of record.
And that's what grind is. Grind isn't, you know, posting your link on Twitter nonstop and telling other people and reaching out to other people. Like that's working, what Schoolboy is doing. So I respect it.
Yeah, because he's not taking too many days off between March 1st and the end of April, and then he goes right out to Europe, does all those shows overseas. So, good for him. I'm excited. Is Oxymoron, is that gonna be like the first sort of big album this year, or the first sort of
Yep.
Album people are looking out for.
Yep. I would say so. And then it's interesting, TDE vows to release, I think they said 6 projects this year. I think every artist on the label is releasing some sort of project this year. So they've already dropped Isaiah Rashad, and then they've got Schoolboy Q in March. Do you think that they got a good shot of making it?
So that would leave them with J-Rock.
Right.
Absol.
Kendrick.
Who else?
SZA.
Hmm.
The R&B chick. Can we just go ahead and
some of those are going to be iTunes EPs.
Oh, of course.
And if they want to count that, that's fine.
Yeah, I think they'll all be except Kendrick.
I don't know. Maybe.
Except maybe Absol. Absol. Because J-Rock kind of has that. He's getting a lot of love. He's definitely benefiting off of the Black Hippie collaborations. You know, now's a good money tree. So now's a good time to reintroduce him with, you know, a larger budget and some different production, because he can rap.
It's going to sound really old school. I feel like a J-Rock mixtape almost might even work. Mm. Like with TDE guys on it, low key, because I feel he needs a little out of all the guys. Like, so Kendrick doesn't need any sort of priming. Like as soon as he's ready, they can put out a single or two and he's good to go. Right. Schoolboy, they've had to do all these sort of like singles to try to like get buzz. Absol is going to need a little bit of that same thing. J-Rock, he's going to need even more. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess they could release the album out of nowhere, but I feel like they're going to really have to get a lot of music out there to get his sort of, God, what is this, overused cliche day? To get his buzz going.
I mean, yeah, because he's the only one who hasn't, I mean, he hasn't released anything since his album in, what was it, 08?
Yeah. So maybe, let's not say mixtape. Maybe it's, you know, he puts out, we wake up one morning and we got, you know, 6 songs from him on SoundCloud, some of which are like TDE remixes or whatever. But like they got to figure out some way to get him out there before they really start to push whatever's on an album. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
But yeah, 6 projects. That's ambitious.
Very.
That's the power of Kendrick right now at Interscope, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, that we talk about when we talk about the Grammys, but, you know, the performance that they had, that he had there with Imagine Dragons, man, that is Interscope money at its finest.
I disagree.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that when we get there.
I was kind of being facetious.
But we'll
get there.
All right, anything else we want to talk about before we really dig into the Grammys?
I think we can just go ahead and jump right into the Grammys.
So do you want to talk about Kendrick and Imagine Dragons since we were kind of going?
I mean, yes, since we're in a TDE vein, we might as well talk Kendrick, Imagine Dragons, and then talk Kendrick, and then just go into the Grammys since we're already there. Did you like the performance?
No.
You're the first person to say that.
I generally don't like, and this was actually kind of my problem with Kendrick's. This reminded me a lot of Kendrick's live show.
Ah.
I feel like I'm having a flashback to 1998 whenever I hear like a quote unquote generic rock band doing like a hip hop beat. You know, I feel like it's like Korn all over again.
So are you calling Imagine Dragons the new Fuzz Bubble?
I'm saying that they're signed to Interscope. They're produced by Alex the Kid, and they've, you know, it's like rock mixed with some, you know, dubstep influences, and I'm like, nah, I'm good. Yeah. I that song I'm not a fan of.
I'm actually surprised no rapper has jumped on that record yet.
It's not very good.
Never did. You're the only person to say that.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if too many people, I don't know. Who does anybody like love that song? I feel like people are like, you know, like they're not offended by it.
Does it make you want to like, you know, run some layup drills?
I hate that commercial.
I wasn't talking about, are you talking about the LeBron commercial?
I hate it.
Nah, I wasn't talking about that. It just sounds like a record that you would hear during like a playoff game in like a high school gymnasium.
Hmm.
That's not a diss, because again, Jack Jams.
we could really make the people happy, do a Jock Jams retro.
That would actually be hilarious. I've been listening like early 90s. I blame you because you tweeted from your personal account that you were listening to Set Adrift on Memory Bliss today. And from there, I just went to PM Dawn Spotify Radio. And it was amazing. So, I mean, again, when we, you know, we'll kind of unwrap some things. We've got some really dope ideas in the works for 2014.
So, I mean, you know, hear those drums and you immediately know why I like that song.
Yeah. shout out to Dre Murray for pointing that out. He was like, he called them the paid in full drums. Mm-hmm. And I was like, those aren't not quite paid in full. They are, but they're not.
That's right.
But, you know.
So anyway, so Kendrick and Imagine Dragons. So are they going to push Mad City or do they just happen to choose this?
It's, well, I mean, you were at a, you went to the Yeezus concert.
I did.
Wasn't that like the record that got the most response or the biggest response from Kendrick?
It's one of them, definitely. And, you know, ironically though, you know what people really love to do is they love to do yacht, yacht, yacht. Like they like they like the Schoolboy drop, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like there's a couple aspects to this, right? Like, so number one, first of all, there was like sort of the intro to Radioactive, which is the Imagine Dragons song, sort of a rockish version of Mad City. And then they segue back to Radioactive where we get Kendrick's new verse because apparently they're doing a remix.
Yeah.
So there's a whole lot of aspects to this. So just looking at Kendrick, like his new verse is cool. He got a lot of attention from it. Kendrick is – nobody came out – I mean, aside from – for somebody who didn't win any awards, nobody came out of this Grammys looking better than Kendrick Lamar.
Absolutely. And let's talk about that. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I don't want to get too – we're going to talk about the Macklemore stuff already. We're not
– I mean, like, dude, we're a hip-hop podcast. We kind of have to, right?
No, I guess. I mean, that's like – that's a big thing to unpack. But let's just – I mean, just looking at Kendrick, like, what'd you think of the new verse?
Hey, it was cool. It was a Kendrick verse.
It was a Kendrick verse.
Which by default is – it's just dope by default. Like, at the least, you know, anytime you hear something new from Kendrick, lyrically, it's going to be at a certain bar.
Mm.
I'm already thinking about his next album, like, you know –
I was thinking about that.
What is that gonna do? He obviously can he just do a collection of songs? Is it gonna be something different? Like what is it?
There will be a ton of pressure on him.
And that's what I'm scared of.
He's in a tough spot. I mean, this sounds crazy.
Yeah.
But he set the bar so high.
So high. He has, as a lot of people have called it, the first classic of this generation of hip hop artists. The first flawless album. I mean, even looking at this, and we'll talk about the Grammys and you know what goes into, you know, voting and who votes and stuff. But
that's right.
People really, 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 it was unanimous that album was at least great.
That's right.
At least great.
Yeah. So I mean, people can, you know. It was one of those situations where even if you didn't, maybe you thought that somebody else should have won Rap Album of the Year or even Album of the Year because he was nominated for that as well. Maybe you thought that, but if he would have won, I don't know anybody who's a hip hop fan who would have been like, who would have been mad.
Absolutely.
Right. It was, you know, it's like one of those cases where you have, you know, in sports, you have like an MVP sort of voting and people might have, oh, this is who I really think and this is who I really think. Kendrick would have been on ballots, not just a lot of number ones, but on the people where he was the number one choice, he would have been the number two choice, right? So he was this consensus, like, yeah, he should get it.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, the pressure he's going to be under for this next album. Because look, I like Schoolboy Q as an artist. I think Absol's kind of underrated and overrated at the same time, but I think he's good. I like J-Rock. I like what TDE's doing, but... let's be 100% clear. Interscope does not care about TDE unless Kendrick does Kendrick.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's going to be commercial pressure because now he's on a much bigger level of exposure. There's going to be commercial pressure to increase those numbers. And then artistically, I mean, he's, you know, yeah, hip hop fans have pointed out online, you know, why was he up for Best New Artist? He's not brand new, blah, blah, blah. He was new to the public.
Absolutely. I mean, we complain about the same stuff every year because people said the same thing about Esperanza Spalding, where she won Best New Artist, but she had already dropped an album. Like, dude, like just because you know about him doesn't mean the public knows about him. Like, chill out.
But, you know, so and to me, what I think, you know, one way that you can really look at it is maybe that wasn't his first collection of music, but if you listen to Good Kid, Mad City, that is, in every classic hip-hop sense of the word, that is a debut album.
Absolutely.
That is the album he has been saving tracks and verses for his entire life.
Absolutely.
Now, we look back at the rappers we grew up on. And what happens when you have that first classic album that somebody clearly has spent their whole life or a portion of their life thinking about? The follow-up is tough.
Yep.
I mean, I compared it. I mean, people might say it's blasphemous, but you look at Illmatic, right?
I was just thinking about Nas. Absolutely.
You look at Illmatic, you look at the transition that it was written. Now, Kendrick doesn't, the world is a different place, right? Music's in a different place. So we're not going to have the, Nas at the Source Awards slumping in the seat the whole nine yards, right? It's a different kind of world now. So we're going to see that kind of shift for the next Kendrick album. But even look at someone like Jay, right? Reasonable Doubt, which at the time some people thought was classic. It didn't really get its due till later on. But his second album certainly didn't live up to the hype.
Nope. DMX?
Well, yeah. Needless to say, that second album did not live up to the hype. There are very few artists whose second albums.
And you know what's funny, man? Somebody made this point about Pharrell, who we also need to talk about.
Yeah, definitely.
Most artists, your Marvins, your Stevies, they didn't make their best music until their third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh album. Mm. They were already well into their careers when they hit their peak. We want our artists to start at their peak, and that in a lot of artists' cases, I guess it's different. Like, we kind of breed people to start, this is the album that I've been waiting for my whole life. It's a little different now in terms of what you have access to do as far as technology and things like that, because people were like, just to get in a recording studio back then was a big deal. But I guess I said that to say, the pressure that's on Kendrick, I'm just curious to know, does he do what happens after he goes to L.A.? I mean, isn't that now? Is it going to be a year, the year that he's had, what that's been like? Is he going to be another story? Is it going to be a collection? I don't know, man.
That's another tough thing. I mean, we talk about this at length on the Good Kid, Mad City episode of Clock Radio Speakers. And even though that's over a year old, if you haven't heard it, if you like the show, you're going to love that episode, because we basically just sit there and gush about the album for over an hour, maybe even over 2 hours. But this is one of the rare examples in hip hop where a concept album actually keeps the concept and the story actually works, right? That is a classic rapper line where I've got a theme, I've got a concept, and they abandon it after three tracks. Mm-hmm. Kendrick did not do that. So now the question is, is that what he has to do every single time? Right. I almost think the move is in a way to emulate parts of Kanye's career, which is to sort of be like, nope, I'm doing something totally different. Good Kid, Mad City was Good Kid, Mad City. What can I do next? Right. You sort of, because otherwise, what are we going to get? Good Kid, Mad City Part 2? When has a sequel ever been better? You know what I mean? That's just tough. That is such a solid comp. When I say solid, I don't mean solid isn't good. I mean, it is a piece of art from start to one whole package. Yeah. So he really needs to just let that be and move on to something different.
True. I mean, yeah. And this is the last thing we'll say when we move on. We act like we haven't had a whole body of work from Kendrick before. I mean, Section 80 had a concept as well, but it had a different concept and it still worked. Granted, we could nitpick and say that there were some things wrong and blah, blah, blah. But, it was also a body of work that was conceptual, still had, radio friendly or mix show friendly or whatever singles, and it worked. So, let's not forget about the rest of his catalog and not act like he can't do it, because,
Well, the problem is, though, is Good Kid, Mad City was so good. You can't go down. Like, if you're going to do a concept album again, you have to be better.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'll tell you, if he pulls that off, that we would have never seen anything like that. I'm sure people are going to tell me about Prince Paul's album, which I actually bought back in 98 or 99.
Yeah.
Right. They're going to tell me about that, but let's be 100% clear.
Don't forget about Master Ace as well.
That's right. This is the absolute best combination in hip hop of execution, storyline, and concept.
Yeah.
Unquestionably.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah.
So that means he has to be better if he wants to do that same sort of thing. And then if he does, he's going to be pigeonholed as the guy who does the story every time. And maybe he's okay with that. Maybe he can execute that. But man, I would think twice about that. Because you don't want to chase that. You don't want to be Nas. You don't want to chase Illmatic your whole life. You don't want to chase Good Kid, Mad City.
Yep. I agree.
All right. So aside from Kendrick, and we're going to come back to him in a little bit when we talk about all this other nonsense that was going on. But let's talk about some of these performances.
Yeah.
So the show opened with your girl Beyonce.
Yeah.
And some guy named Jay-Z.
Yeah, some fella.
How'd you feel about this?
I was okay.
How do you like this song?
I mean, it's hottest record in the streets right now. I mean, it's a dope record. It's a dope record. I just actually got back into Beyonce's album this week. Since we did the episode, found it chopped and screwed. I mean, it's a dope record. I'm not blown away by it, but it's a dope record. Performance was cool. It was what it was. It was, Beyonce being Beyonce, this new Beyonce, this overtly, sexually free.
Yeah.
Sexually free Beyonce. And it's, her husband, reaping the benefits of that, ha ha, guess who I get to go home with? Like, it's like that. So, all right, now it's a thing now. He won the Grammy. He thanked Blue and acknowledged and all that stuff when, before it was kind of hush hush and, now it's cool for them to be, it was what it was. It was a puzzle.
Jay is, he's getting old, man. He's getting old. Like, he's just gonna be a middle aged dad pretty soon. Like, are we ready for that?
Is Jay-Z and Beyonce really? I don't know their names, but from Modern Family, is this really?
I don't watch that show. But
hilarious show, really funny show.
I try not to watch sitcoms. They're usually terrible.
Make the exception.
Okay.
Make the exception.
All right, but Beyonce. Motherhood and marriage has seemingly made her feel more sexually empowered, whereas fatherhood and marriage seems to have Jay just getting older.
Wow.
She's the biggest like music star of that family right now.
Yeah. Look at what Jay couldn't do that.
No.
Jay couldn't drop a real black album. He got nervous. His palms are sweaty. Knees weak. Arms are heavy. He's vomiting on his sweater.
We got it. We got it. You know what? Jay just loves mailing in these performances on Beyonce tracks. Loves it.
Listen, somebody said that he is just totally biting off of 2 Chainz on that record and on Holy Grail, and I wholeheartedly believe it.
How so?
Just watch his manner, especially in the Holy Grail video, his mannerism Chainz, and even the, if I do say so myself, that's all 2 Chainz.
That is 2 Chainz.
All 2 Chainz. So, nah, I'm cool.
Kadena's better watch out. He might get young Christ.
Kadena's better watch out.
Young Christ is, you don't want to be young Christ. But you know what? When I saw that they were going to perform this, I was like, first of all, I really like this song. So I was excited because I was like, hey, the Grammys are going to, they're going to play us. They're going to have a performance of a song that is hot right now.
Right. Which is uncharacteristic for the Grammys. You're right. Good point.
Because typically it's, let's celebrate the whole year.
Yeah.
Right. I was terrified they were going to come out and do On the Run. Everybody would have just been like, you know.
Boo. I would have enjoyed that.
Well, you and the Carters. But here, listen, I will continue to rail against this because I'm an old man who remembers how it used to be and I want all these kids to get off my porch and blah, blah, blah. But like, would it have killed them to do a radio edit for the Grammys?
Like, yeah, I mean, yeah,
you know, Kendrick, like there was, you know, there was like, they had to bleep out parts of his performance, but like really Beyonce and Jay, they couldn't get it together for the Grammys, especially since, you know, there's like a whole big rehearsal where they like walk through this, like, you know, I don't know. I feel like it'd make it a little cleaner.
Yeah.
But anyway, I thought it was a pretty good performance. What was really kind of weird, and I'll get nerdy about this for like 30 seconds, then I'll stop. The sound quality coming through, like I was listening, you know, the TV I was watching on was hooked up to like a good system or whatever, but I felt like they just mixed that really bad from the live performance. Like no bass coming through, everything sounded real tinny. I was disappointed in that.
Oh man,
here you go. No, really, like, you know, like that record, there should be some bass coming through.
But engineered Doc.
What can I say? Do we need to talk at all about Robin Thicke in Chicago?
What? My only question of Robin Thicke was, did he actually win anything or did he get shut out?
Oh, that's a good question. You think I would have looked that up? I don't think he won anything.
I don't think he won anything either. And it was funny because a lot of the experts were picking, you know, him to sweep a lot of those awards over Get Lucky. And Get Lucky ended up winning, you know, a lot of those awards.
Yeah, well, let's talk about Daft Punk in a sec. But the only thing I want to say about Robin Thicke was he really needs to stop playing Blurred Lines now. Like, he should have stopped 3 months ago.
Well, yeah, I mean, they put out another single. I think they put out Give It To You. But, I mean, it's Blurred Lines. Like, it's one of the biggest records in the last, what, 10 years, 15 years?
It was pretty big. So, I just feel like he's going to be playing that record till he's 80.
And he's gonna be in casinos.
Oh God!
Ladies and gentlemen, Robin Thicke, and he's gonna be singing "Blurred Lines," the remix of "Blurred Lines," the Spanish version of "Blurred Lines," and it's not gonna be pretty. He's still gonna have like that white suit with the black shirt underneath it with no tie.
It's kind of funny how really Robin Thicke spent the year trying to be Justin Timberlake, and Justin Timberlake spent the second half of the year trying to be Robin Thicke.
Funny,
right?
Funny guys.
When I saw that they were like, it's Robin Thicke in Chicago, and I was like, man, this is really, really white. Like, it's just like extra Wonder Bread. Like, but that's enough about. Do you got anything else you want to say about Robin Thicke in Chicago?
Nah, we could. Yeah, let's. I didn't even.
It was basically Robin Thicke singing lead vocals on like a medley of Chicago hits. None of which I knew because, you know, I'm not 40 plus years old. And then at the very end, they throw in Blurred Lines and I'm like, oh God. But let's talk about this Daft Punk, Pharrell and Stevie Wonder performance. Your man Pharrell won the night, right?
He did.
Him and Daft Punk really. How'd you feel about the hat?
I mean, the hat was a tribute to, was it Buffalo
Girls?
Yeah, Buffalo Girls. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is it? You got to realize, this is what people need to realize about when celebrities do outlandish stuff at award shows. They know you're going to talk about them. Pharrell probably knew, hey, I'm going to clean up tonight. So not only are you going to know that I won a lot of awards, you're going to know that I'm there. And since Pharrell is extra, extra hip hop and he's extra, extra fashion, as we said a few months ago, he's basically living the life that Kanye's been ranting about wanting to have. Pharrell's doing that and has been doing that. You know what? I'm going to wear a very tall, brown, Smokey the Bear hat. And I dare you to say something. And Arby said something and blah, blah, blah.
I love that Arby said something. That was great. Because, you know, who cares about Arby's?
Yeah, I'm so hungry I could eat at Arby's. Simpsons. Remember the episode when they were stranded on the island and Milhouse ate all the food, ate all the rations?
Nah.
You don't remember that? Okay.
But yeah, you know, I'll give Pharrell credit, right? I, you know, if I tried to wear a hat like that,
I should make some Kairos hats like that. Once the beanies go, we should get the tall, put the little buckle on there and stuff too.
The buckle.
But yeah, I mean, you know, well, it was what it was.
Enough about the fashion. So what'd you think of the performance?
It was all right. It's all right. But you know, I was never a big fan of Get Lucky to begin with.
Oh
yeah. I didn't really like the Daft Punk album. Like,
yeah, I want to talk about, when we talk about like the actual awards in a little bit, I want to talk about the Daft Punk album, but like this performance made me like going back and watch this performance. It's now it. Let's just say this performance made me realize why Daft Punk won Album of the Year. And I'll talk about that later. But, you know, what I thought was really interesting is this summer, Get Lucky kind of played the backseat to Blurred Lines.
It absolutely did.
And now nobody wants to hear Blurred Lines.
Absolutely.
But people still want to hear Get Lucky because it was really popular, but somehow didn't quite get super played out.
Right.
It got close. But no, you know, look, Stevie Wonder's a legend. A legend. He struggled a little bit during that performance. It was not the strongest Stevie Wonder performance. But no, I thought it was a cool performance. I feel like Pharrell is really set up if he wants to. 2014 could be a really big year for him. Like, this is now, are we like on the third iteration or the fourth iteration of the Neptunes or Pharrell sound? Right, because you had the early years, right, Super Thug years, right?
Yeah,
and he
sort of, I mean, yeah.
And then you had the transition into the NERD sound, right?
Which kind of blends, does that blend in with the I Just Want to Love You?
That's really the end of that, but like, look at the difference between I Just Want to Love You and, excuse me, Miss. Right, excuse me, Miss. We are you're starting to see a bleed over from the NERD sound into his hip hop production. Right, some influences there, and then it really goes all the way. Like, he's doing work for No Doubt, work he does later on. But like, his most of his records, you know, up until, I should say Neptune's records up until, I don't know. I mean, because you'd like that Clones album, and we did a really in depth Neptune's retrospective. So please listen to it if you haven't on clockradiospeakers.com. But like, even that Clones album doesn't sound anything like, you know, say that Philly's Most Wanted album, right? There was definitely like a different sort of sound that started to happen. But now, like really since what, the middle of 2011, a little bit, he's sort of, this has been like the resurrection of Pharrell. And in 2013, he seemingly peaked, but I don't know. I mean, I think more people like on a popular culture level are aware of him than ever before. I feel like Happy, while not a smash hit, is something that everybody who's listened to likes. That's going to be a slow burn, like I'm, you know, playing around forever.
Yeah, yeah. You're going to, like, your grandkids are going to hear Happy.
Mm.
Happy's one of those records that's going to have legs forever.
Because kids are going to be watching that Despicable Me 2 DVD over and over and over, and they're going to hear that. But no, I feel like Pharrell, you know, because he's recording a solo album this year, right?
Yes, he's doing something along the lines of The Chronic, I believe, where he's on it and he's doing all the production, but he's going to have other people on there.
Man, that could be incredible.
It could be.
That could, that would really, man. You know, because it's been what? It's been almost 16 years since Super Thug came out. Like, to have to think that in 2014 he could somehow actually reach his peak as an artist is incredible. I mean, so are you expecting big things from Pharrell in 2014, or are you sort of being cautiously optimistic? Or
nah, I expect him to pretty much kick the door down this year. I think he's gonna have an even bigger year. I think this year was to set up. Last year was the setup to this year. You know, I think he's gonna try. You know, in my mind too.
Hopefully better executed.
Don't do that.
What?
Don't do that.
You don't think that's a disappointing album?
No. Not at all. Not at all.
All right.
That album was dope.
It's cool.
We talk about this in depth on our Neptune's retrospective, which you can check out at clockradiospeakers.com.
I feel like we've just been plugging retros all day.
I mean, you know, I mean, it's, the Grammys is a celebration of like a year, and yeah. You know, it's a big sense.
So we haven't done a Katy Perry retro yet, but did you catch your performance with Juicy J?
I did.
What'd you think?
It's too much, man. It's just corny, like to even like go down that route. You know what I'm saying? Whether all that stuff is true or not, it was just corny to even go down that route to even like get the people talking. Like it was just corny. It took away from the song. You know, it was just too much. It was stupid. And then I didn't even know Juicy J was on the song. So I'm sitting there like irritated watching the performance. Like, are you serious? And then here comes Juicy J. I'm like, what ways, not to make this worse because I like Juicy J, but in what ways can you make this more awkward? Oh, I know. Put Juicy J on the record.
So during the Beyonce episode, I talked about how one of the big takeaways is how like trap music has taken over the world, like sonically.
Yeah.
This is, you know, this Katy Perry, it's a trap record. With a big trademark Dr. Luke bridge and chorus, like tacked onto it, you know, screwed vocals, 808s. Yeah. Like, I mean, this is what's incredible to me is how mainstream this now is. So, like, what is rap gonna do now?
Salt up now.
No, and it's interesting. You know, I subscribe to a Billboard playlist on Spotify that continually updates like whatever the top R&B and hip hop tracks are. And I was going through it today and I was struck by, I think the LA sound might have more records in the top 10 than the South.
Are you talking about LA like Mustard?
I'm specifically talking about DJ Mustard. Okay. Who's got three records in the Billboard Hip Hop and R&B top 10 right now.
What three records are those?
You're gonna make me pull it up, huh?
Yes, I am. Is it the Kid Ink and Chris Brown record? Is that a hit?
Kid Ink and Chris Brown is one of them.
Okay, wow.
Hold on. So the top 10. So you got The Monster, right? Eminem and Rihanna. That's not going anywhere.
Oh, never mind. You're doing top 10. I thought that was DJ Mustard.
No. Drunken Love, like Talk Dirty. Yeah, there's a bunch of records here. But like, so there's Show Me, Kid Ink and Chris Brown.
Okay.
My Hitta.
Like the worst rate. Is that the worst radio edit? Is that worse than ASAP Rocky's Effing Problems? Is that like the worst? Has that taken the crown from ASAP as the?
Oh, you know what? I take that back. It wasn't in the top 10. It was, but then Paranoid. I think that's Ty Dolla $ign. I think that's DJ Mustard as well. But even beyond that, like, I'm trying to think. So let me go back. But it just struck me that like, so like The Monster, it doesn't sound like a South record. Drunken Love, not really. Definitely.
It's got a Southern tempo.
It's inspired.
It's a Southern tempo.
Hold On, We're Going Home. No.
Not at all.
White Walls. No.
No.
Happy. No.
No.
Blurred Lines. Still in the top 10.
Is it really?
Yeah. No. But like, yeah, 23 is number 9. Let's see. Yeah, there's just not as... I feel like... I don't know. I almost feel like we're now at the point where... trap drums and screwed vocals, whether it's, I mean, Beyonce is one thing, but man, when Katy Perry's doing records over 808s and screwed vocals at the Grammys, like.
Is this the equivalent of when old white women got a hold of Bling Bling?
Not quite, but maybe more like, I'm trying to think. I hated how Bling Bling became a thing.
Yeah, because it wasn't, you know, it wasn't like Bling Bling. It was like Bling Bling.
Hold on. If you're gonna do white talk, you gotta let me get on this, you know.
Go ahead.
Bling bling.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Gotcha. I don't know. I just, you know, so between what Kendrick's doing, between what DJ Mustard's doing, and there's a bunch of other people I'm not even naming right now. I wonder if West Coast is about to really have a moment again.
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you know, Kendrick kicked down the door. You know, I still think what Nipsey did leaves a lot to talk about. You know, and then you've got Mustard kind of cleaning up the commercial side, but they're not, you know, it's funny because when people think of the West Coast, you think of the last big artist in the West was The Game, and The Game was too busy. Instead of trying to carve his own sound, he was trying to reach back and kind of redo what was already done. But like, this is a totally different sound.
Yeah. Now The Game is label mates with Paris Hilton.
Is he? I thought he wasn't officially on Cash Money.
Oh, I thought he was.
I thought he was, and then he said he wasn't.
I like how you just skipped right over the fact that Paris Hilton's on Cash Money, and that just didn't even faze you at all.
I saw somebody say a tweet, or I saw a tweet that said Birdman probably doesn't even remember that she's on Cash Money.
What I love the most about that whole television appearance was that they kept calling Mac Maine Jermaine.
I didn't see it. What happened?
It was like E has the pre-show where it's like all about fashion and everything.
Yep.
And they want to talk to Paris Hilton, and she's coming down the red carpet with Birdman and Mac Maine.
Oh my God.
And Mac Maine's real name is Jermaine.
Okay.
So they're like, it's Paris Hilton here with Birdman and Jermaine. And Birdman's just sort of looking not happy. And then the lady on E is like, well, is that not right? He's like, well, no, that's his name, but that's Mac Maine. And then she did it again. Love it.
Mac Maine. Not Mac Man. Mac Maine.
Because he's Jermaine.
It's almost as funny as the mini. Have you seen Jamie Foxx make fun of Terrence Howard?
No, I haven't.
Pull that up on YouTube. It's hilarious because he says Terrence Howard plays the same character in every movie. So he was like Iron Man. you just got to watch it. I'm horrible.
All right. I was going to say, yeah. You're not making this. Yeah.
No, it is. It's funny. It's hilarious.
But anyway, so yeah, I mean, when Katy Perry's doing trap records, I don't know.
Whatever. I just, all right. Why did she do Roar?
Because this is her single. Dark Horse is her single right now.
But you made the point that, I mean, they did get lucky. Like, did Daft Punk only release one single? Like, we're doing, this is, the Grammys is basically a year retrospective. So if Katy Perry is up for, you know, Song of the Year with Roar, don't you do like half and half? Because didn't Pink do her hit song? Didn't she do that Give Me a Reason song or something?
It's true.
Was she on the trapeze again?
Yeah.
She did it again?
Can we talk about Grammy moments?
I mean, you go right ahead. I mean, again, I watched recaps. I didn't see like the whole show. So
they now call them. This is going to be another Grammy moment. So it's not enough to say we're going to bring together the biggest artists in the world, and you're going to see performances, and you're going to get awards, because you're really not even getting that many awards. But now they've painted themselves into a corner where what used to be like a highlight of the show, where you're bringing together artists who normally wouldn't work together, or there's some sort of mashup or whatever. That used to be like, stay tuned for Macklemore and Madonna. Right. Now it's every, we're going to talk about that in a second. Now it's every single thing has to be, look, it's Macklemore and Madonna. Look, it's all these, look at these four old white guys on stage doing this. Oh, look, it's Daft Punk with Stevie Wonder. Oh, it's like, whoa. What are you going to do next year? Like, I saw someone make a joke online about this where they're like, you know, I think it might have even been on Grantland where they're like, you know, they won't settle until next year on the Grammys. They see Big Sean jumping through like a fire hoop, like at a circus or something like that. Like, that's like making a joke of like, where exactly are the Grammys supposed to go? Like, they've now got them in this place where it's just not, it's almost not enough to do a normal performance.
Yeah.
You got to do something that's pushing the boundaries, or you've got to be really different. And even if you want to just do your song, someone like Lorde, you have to like strip it down or change it up. Like you just can't do a straight on performance anymore.
What did she do?
Royals, of course.
Well, I mean, yeah, but I mean, you said it was stripped down. Like what happened?
Like, they sort of like stripped down in terms, like it was.
How do you strip that song down?
You can strip it down.
It's a drum. It's like a drum beat with like no melodic anything in the song. And she's like awkwardly singing 12 different parts on the hook.
It felt a little bit more sparse.
Jeez.
But no, I feel like they've caught, it's you've been a big proponent of this notion that music is about moments now. And Grammys are the absolute ultimate extension of that, where they can't even get people excited about awards, right? Where like all the hip hop awards are pretty much done before we even get there. And right. So instead we got to watch these like, oh, watch this person work with this person. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.